A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. The angel Gabriel was sent from God to a town of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming to Mary, the angel said, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But Mary was greatly troubled at what was said, and pondered what sort of greeting this might be. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." But Mary said to the angel, "How can this be? I have no relations with the man." And the angel said to her in reply, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month for her who was called barren. For nothing will be impossible to God." And Mary said, "Behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. May it be done to me according to your word." Then the angel departed from her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Tonight we spend some time meditating on the sixth sorrow of our Blessed Mother Mary, Jesus taken down from the cross. It is also the 13th station of the cross. Mary was there when Jesus drew his first breath on this earth in a stable in Bethlehem many years before. And here she is when he drew his last breath in agony on a cross. And there was a man called Joseph of Arimathea. He went to Pilate and asked for permission to remove the body of Jesus from the cross. And we're told Pilate was amazed that Jesus was dead in about 3 hours. He was amazed at that. But by going there, Joseph of Arimathea was saying to Pilate, "I am a friend of Jesus of Nazareth." Now Peter at the supper the night before was making great speeches saying, "I will go and die with you." And Peter, who was called the Rock, would find out later on that night that he was made of stairs of sand. The other disciples were missing. Thomas, called the twin, had said one time, "We'll go to Jerusalem and die with him." All these men are offside on Calvary, with the exception of John. And the Pilate's permission was needed, so Joseph of Arimathea went in and said, "I'll take the body." And in doing that, he publicly associated himself with Jesus to the Roman authority, namely Pilate. Then he came back And he climbed up with some help from Nicodemus, and they took the spikes from the hand of Jesus, and they lowered his body down from the cross and placed him in the arms and on the lap of his mother Mary. And as if it was not bad enough for her to witness the pain and suffering of Jesus, at some distance, and here she has a close-up view of the results of the scourging, the crowning of thorns, and the nailing of the hands and feet, and the opening of his side with the lance. His lifeless, bloodless body is in her grasp. Now, we can only vaguely imagine the suffering and pain she went through at that very moment. She knew that this was the best man ever to walk on the earth. She knew he never did anything wrong. She knew he did well and meant well. She also knew he worked miracles, because the word would have filtered back to Nazareth. And she was proud of him and proud of his work and achievements. And here's where it all ends. Tormented, a torn body in her arms. We can meditate on this and keep doing that. The interesting thing about a mystery is it's always a mystery. A problem, once it's solved, is no longer a problem. But you can go in deeper and deeper into a mystery. Our founder, St. Paul of the Cross, as a young child, used to be fascinated by the passion of Jesus. He thought about it, he prayed about it, and his mother told him about it. And as he grew and meditated more and more, he got greater insights, and then could see that the transformation of a human soul, the transformation of a heart, is helped by the information on the Passion of Christ. And there's so many lessons that you and I can learn from this particular sorrow tonight. One of them is that everything ends. There's always the full-time whistle. Think now, here, of relatives and friends of yours who have died. Think of how you heard that, how devastated you were at hearing that, and that wonderful sense of shock that comes right up within the mind and in the heart, that cushions us in a way from the full immensity of our loss. And then that feeling of, as days go by, the feeling of emptiness, the feeling of loneliness, and yes, the anger. Why did this happen? And those who stood at the cross, specifically Mary, because of her maternal heart, would have had that very experience at a very deep level. Here he is, stone dead as a doornail. No more would she see him move. No more would she hear him speak. No longer listen to laughter. All these things are gone. There was a poet one time said, the heart bows down by weight of woe. To weakest hope, memory clings. To thought and impulse, why they flow. All these memories go right through the Mother of God now. The mothers here in the congregation will understand the feeling that you have with a child. Mary had that great feeling of depth and love for Jesus. And in that very, very time of such great distress, she really and truly appreciated Joseph of Arimathea. He was the right man, in the right place, at the right time, who knew what to do. And he went to Pilate and took the body of Jesus down. You couldn't do it otherwise. You needed that permission from the authority. Because remember this, that very morning in the trial before Pilate, Jesus would hear those three terrifying words in Latin, Ibis ad crucem, you will go to the cross. He heard that. This was the man who was putting him there. So that permission was needed from Pilate to take him down, and Joseph of Arimathea was there to do it. Not Peter, not James, not Bartholomew, not Simon the Zealot, none of them. But this man, who was one of the Pharisees, he was there. And I'm sure when he went to Pilate and introduced himself as Joseph of Arimathea, and Pilate would have said, I heard about you, because Pilate had a very good CID. He had all those things. He would have known who Joseph was and his association with Christ. And that very action of Joseph of Arimathea took a weight off Mary's heart, made it possible for her to hold her dead son. Now, when we meditate on this, we'll all do it our own way. And what I'm doing at the moment is painting a picture with words, and you have your own response to that. One of the most amazing things in this church is this wonderful Pieta here on my right. To sit, just to look at that. Watch it. See what happens within yourself. How it moves you. And how it can draw you. Remember, 2,000 years ago, it's a long, long time, Jesus did say, when I am lifted up, I will draw all people to myself. And the passion of Christ is the magnet that draws us. Why? Because we have pain in our life. We have loss in our life. We have suffering in our life. We have loneliness in our life. We have all these things. And the amazing thing is, you can't run away from these things. To think you can run from your own pain is the same as saying you can run away from yourself. You can't. But standing our ground and facing this mystery tonight and opening ourselves to it, we can in fact be strengthened by God's Holy Spirit, who does move people, who does enlighten people, and who ultimately changes people. We adore you, O Christ, and we bless you, because by your holy cross, you have redeemed the world.
Most sorrowful Mother, sorrow filled your heart when the adorable body of your divine Son was taken down from the cross and laid in your arms. I wish to join with you in this sorrow and ask you to obtain for me the grace to receive Jesus into my soul before I die, so that I may be perfectly united to him forever in heaven. Together, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. O most holy and afflicted Virgin, Queen of Martyrs, who stood on Mount Calvary when your son was in agony, by the sword of sorrow which pierced your heart, by the sufferings of your whole life on earth, by your unspeakable joy in heaven, look down with maternal pity and tenderness as I kneel before you to sympathize with your sorrows and to place my petition with childlike confidence in your wounded heart. I beg of you, dear Mother, to plead for me with your divine Son, since he can refuse you nothing, and through the merits of his most sacred passion and death, together with your own sufferings at the foot of his cross, so to move his sacred heart that I may obtain this request. A moment for our own personal petitions, may it silence me. You remember also the general intention of this novena, thanksgiving for the canonization of St. Charles of Mount Argus. We pray also for vocations to the priesthood and the religious life, and especially for passionless vocations. And now to continue together. To whom shall I go in my need and misery, if not to you, O Mother most merciful, you who pity us poor exiles, still sighing in this valley of tears? Offer to Jesus for us but one drop of his most precious blood, but one pang of his most loving heart. Remind him that you are our life, our sweetness, and our hope, and your prayer on my behalf will be heard. Amen. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin of Virgins, my Mother. To you do I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother of the Word incarnate, despise not my petitions, but in your clemency, hear and answer me. Amen.